Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of We Watch Shudder. My name is JD. Who's here with me?
It's Michelle.
It's Michelle. It's always Michelle.
Always me.
As it turns out, though, it's not always Shudder anymore. We got to do a new movie every week for a year, and then they were like, "Yeah, we're gonna slow our roll a little bit." And that
They're
brings
like,
us.
We really want to punish that podcast that took our name without permission.
Yeah. So now, if they want to talk about other things, it has to be all weird because they got to explain why we're not talking about a Shudder movie on a podcast that's named about Shudder.
I mean, I don't think we have to explain it, but
I don't think
I'm only
either.
One half of this team.
What's happening right now is I have no idea whatsoever how to start this episode. We're it's 1 o'clock
okay.
in the morning. Michelle just woke up from a long nap after a rough couple of days at work. I have a dog who won't leave me alone today for whatever reason. That's real stressful. That's definitely as stressful as international corporate training scenarios.
That's
isn't it?
The best part about dog ownership, though, is that they love you so unconditionally and so hard.
It's creepy obsessiveness is what it is, Michelle. If a person did this to you, you would not be happy about it.
I was that person in junior high. I was basically a dog that just like followed people around like, I adore you. You are the best thing ever. Would you like to go outside with me and go for a walk?
Can you take me to the potty? Did you ask them that too?
Yeah. Yep. All the time. I was like, can you take me outside so I can pee in the grass? And they're like, this is why you don't have any friends. I was like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. I'll go home and play Final
tracks.
Fantasy VII again.
Dogs don't do that, Michelle. Dogs don't play Final Fantasy VII. They don't even play it
Maybe
once,
they
let
should.
Alone play it again.
Maybe they should.
Yeah, but they can't because account of their dogs.
Wow. I think it's sad that you're just assuming they can't in 2024 when anything is possible.
Is anything possible, Michelle?
Absolutely.
Is anything
possible.
Is anything
All of
likely?
This is a simulation. They just have to change the code and then dogs can play Final Fantasy VII. And I think that would be a great DLC to add to the world.
Yeah, except if they don't change the code, then it's not possible. Do you see what I'm saying? It's only possible if they change the code.
And it's possible for them to change the code, so it's possible.
How do you know it's possible for them to change the code?
I'm one of the people who wrote the simulation we all live in. There, I said it. I said it. Cats out of the bag. Meow.
So, Michelle, if you're one of the people who wrote the simulation, why do you need somebody to reprogram the simulation? Why can't you do it?
Oh, bureaucratic nonsense. There's so much paperwork involved. They don't just let... I'm not, like, the only person...
This
what I say doesn't
what you
just
get
go.
For taking a corporate job to try and make a little bit more than a meager living out of your life, you know?
I chose this path so that dogs could play Final Fantasy VII, and I'm just waiting. It's like how people join like gangs just to like get to the person that they want to kill because that they have vengeance against the person who like murdered their parents or whatever.
Like
that's
that guy
me,
from
the dogs
New York.
Should play Final Fantasy VII. Yeah.
They made that movie about him. Called Gangs of New York.
What? Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're here to talk about American Psycho.
Mm-hmm. What?
Which is not a Shudder movie right now. It's not a Shudder archive movie. It's it was a Michelle selection. Michelle, why did you pick this one?
Well, it had been on my list to revisit for a long time. I've only seen it once, and it was quite a while ago. And then in yesterday's Michelle in Review episode, I had mentioned that I watched The Core on Shudder, which is a little series where they delve into different movies and they talk about special effects and then like what are some good movies from this specific genre, like slashers or whatever it may be. And American Psycho was covered on that again, and I learned some of the things that went into making the film, and I decided to bump it up the list. So when you said you wanted to watch something for May and that I could choose, I chose American Psycho. I was going to watch it anyway. May as well cover it on the show.
How long has it been since you saw this film?
Like 15 years. If I had to estimate.
Okay. Yeah, I was guessing probably about 20 or more. I did see it in the theater when it was originally released. I actually there's a reason for that. So if ridiculous chain of events, I learned about I guess let's roll back. Have you read the book?
Yes. You
Okay.
asked me that a couple episodes ago, but yes.
Okay. Well, maybe people
Now we can
listening to
talk
this
about it.
episode haven't listened to that episode,
But I
Michelle.
didn't know if you
No,
actually
no.
remembered.
I
I was
don't, of course.
curious. Okay, I knew
No.
you didn't. Okay. Yes, I've read the
So,
book.
did you read the book before or after you saw the movie?
After and quite a bit after, because I read it just a couple years ago.
Okay, cool. I read it before, so that'll give us some
Oh.
interesting angles to come at this from. We probably should have sorted all of this out behind the scenes before we started the episode, but fuck it. We're on a
What
roll.
do we have to sort out? I think
Who
it's
do
going
we
great.
have to impress? Nobody.
The dogs
I got a little ahead of
and the
myself.
cat.
Like I said, we're talking about American Psycho. For on the off chance that anybody listening has never seen the movie, Michelle, do you want to give them the plot synopsis courtesy of the IMDb?
Yes, according to the International Movie Database, this is the very long sentence as a summary.
It's a brutal sentence.
It is. A wealthy New York investment banking executive, Patrick Bateman, hides his alternate psychopathic ego from his coworkers and friends as he delves deeper into his violent, hedonistic fantasies. American Psycho, 2000, rated R, hour 42 minutes.
That is the movie we're talking about. Kind
It
of,
is.
would you say, I don't know. See, again, I was aware of this movie when it came out, so I saw it. It's always been in my sort of scope of things. So I don't know, like, I'm not aware of how popular this was when it first came out, if it's considered more of a cult movie or what. But I gotta tell you, this movie said one set of things to me when I saw it in 2000, and it still says
Yep.
those things, but holy shit, in 2024, this movie has a whole lot more to say,
Yes,
and
it
it's
does.
kind of watching through this again after all this time in the current climate, I was just like, oh shit. How about you?
Well, I want to hear since I would like to transition that to hear your spoiler-free rating, because that's kind of your
Oh,
spoiler-free
sure.
thoughts.
Yeah, my
I'd like to know your
spoiler-free
rating.
thoughts. Quick things. First of all, this movie is way funnier than I remember it being. I knew it was funny, but it's way funnier than I remember it being. It's smart. It's well written, it's well directed, it's well performed. It has a lot, it's a precursor to also, like, this movie's talking about toxic masculinity long before that terminology was even being thrown around. This movie is great. I like everything about it. It's also one of the rare cases, and we'll talk about that down the line, where I think the movie is better than the book. And so I this look this is a five skull movie for me. I loved, especially, I think if I had re rated it in 2000 when I first saw it, it would have been more like a four, four and a half. On this rewatch, getting to come back to it with all the new context and such that it has for me at this point, this is a five skull movie for sure. I had a blast watching
Nice.
this.
Nice. I did not expect you to go five. That is great. Great news.
Oh, this
Would
movie's
you like
fantastic, Michelle. It's so good. Oh,
you
yes,
like
please.
my thoughts?
Yes, I
Yeah.
would love your thoughts. What
Okay.
do you specifically need me to ask you for your thoughts every time now, Michelle?
That's our thing. Yeah,
Okay,
I'm not allowed
okay.
to speak without permission.
Michelle,
That's how
wait,
my
what?
character. I wrote that into the code. That was a choice I made because I knew that the thoughts coming out of my mouth unfiltered would get me in trouble. So I am not allowed to speak without permission
As
from
long as.
anybody, not just a man.
Is, I was just going to say, as long as the implication is not that I have banned you from speaking somehow, as
Yeah,
if I
he was
could,
like,
you're
"Hey,
not
I know
even
we
in the
have this
room.
podcast. Yeah.
Right.
I know we have this podcast, but can you
But,
maybe talk less?"
look, you seem like a really nice person, but I'm going to need you to shut the fuck up now.
Shut the fuck up. Oh my God. I need that on a shirt. It's one of the
Guys,
funniest things
it
ever.
dawns on me that we've referenced that a few times, but we never actually explained what it's about. when
so
we went to
good.
see Late Night with the Devil in the theater, it was me, it was several of us, but me and Michelle and Jenna, who was our guest on that episode, were all there, and Jenna was sitting between Michelle and I, and like, we know each other, right? And so we were chatting through the trailers and everything, and right, like, the film had barely run a frame. We had just gone down into, oh, lights coming down, it's feature time. Like, maybe the first little bit has come up on the screen, and she made a comment to, I don't even remember what the last thing she said was, but I just turned to her and I said, look, you seem like a really nice person, but I'm going to need you to shut the fuck up now. And we all burst into uproarious laughter, and then we watched the movie. That's probably a story I didn't actually need to tell, because I just got to the end of it.
I think it's great.
I kind of wanted a cool story, bro, myself on that one. But
I had one of those moments earlier.
If
but
you
no,
were
I
there,
think it's a great story.
If you were
it's
there,
so
it was
funny.
A good time.
T-shirt
use that on your
soon.
Use that on your friends. Use that on your friends, you guys. Look, you seem like a really nice person, but I'm gonna need you to shut the fuck up now.
So funny. I want to say that to so many people. Okay, spoiler-free thoughts.
Oh God, we haven't even done your spoiler. I'm sorry. I'm gonna put this microphone down.
No, it's okay. It's 1 a.m. We always blame it on the time, as opposed to who we are as people.
These people are just
gonna
get sick of JD like beating himself up over all the wild like interrupting and shit that he does.
Oh, good. We've made it to the therapy portion of the show. I was worried we wouldn't get there. Okay, American
the whole,
Psycho.
Let's not kid ourselves, Michelle. At this point, the whole show is the therapy portion.
Yeah, that's true, especially when we get into this one a little bit.
Please, Michelle, spoiler-free thoughts.
I don't know what more I can say about this movie that other people haven't said in a much better way, but I completely agree with you that watching this 15-ish years later, it is an entirely different movie. I remembered this as a serious killing movie slasher thing. Watching it now, yes, hilarious. Oh my God, did not remember the humor even a little bit. I've seen all the memes and I did not remember how funny the scenes those memes actually came from were. I debated going 5. It's not quite there for me. I do not fault a single person who thinks this is a 5. It is a great, great movie. It just doesn't belong in the category of 5s for me in particular. I am going to go with a 4.75, though. It's so close. It just is
all
not
right.
Like one of
all
my
right.
favorite movies ever. So 4.75 from me.
That's fair. That's very fair. I don't think anybody involved with the production of that film in any way would fault you for a quarter of a star, quarter of a skull.
Never know.
Excuse me. That's like 4 skulls, and then the 5th skull is everything but the lower jaw, right? Just the mandible is missing. That's the
oh,
that's all
the
it is.
The mandible and below would be a quarter. I guess that makes sense. The actual like
I,
brain.
No,
covering
I mean
I
didn't assume like I wasn't so much doing it like an actual math estimate. I'm just like, how would we make that look like on the 5 skull meter
graphically?
Yeah, we would just pull the.
Hang on, your skull does not just go like it's not split up and down when you're looking at it graphically for ratings. Yours is like across the like left to right is where your line is.
Yeah, it goes from left to right. It doesn't go. Michelle, so when you go to shutter, it has your skulls vertical.
Yes. Hang on.
I don't believe you.
Hang on.
I don't believe you at all.
I don't think they ever have half a skull. They're all full skulls.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever seen a half a skull.
They don't. No, they don't do half skulls on there. How did we get here? I'm just saying. What I would do is, I was just trying to make a metaphor that it was like 4 full skulls and then 1 skull with a. Holy shit! Let's talk about the movie. Wow. I sure hope this isn't the first episode of this podcast you guys have ever heard, or maybe I do.
We are killing it. We're doing so
maybe
good.
I
we got this,
do.
JD.
Look,
out of the therapy portion into the toxic masculinity fire.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the movie yet, that's on you. We're about to spoil the shit out of it. Stop now and go watch it if you haven't seen it yet. Michelle, I believe you have a wonderful summary concocted already in advance for this particular movie, don't you?
No, I forgot
You
again that I do this.
just gave it to
I
me
never
earlier.
prepare.
You said Batman
Oh,
Becomes a
okay.
Psycho.
Oh, yeah, I didn't come up with the whole thing. But yeah, my summary of this movie is that Batman's pissed and he's on a rampage. The part where they find out that Patrick Bateman's parents actually own the company that he works for, this is the alternate universe where Batman's parents were not killed and now he works for his dad and he has to kill people. Batman doesn't kill people. Patrick Bateman does. He tries to feed a cat to an ATM. He beats up a homeless man and his dog, which is very upsetting.
Beats them up, he kills them both. He doesn't just beat them up.
Yes, he beats them up to the point where they're dead. Okay,
He
I
stabbed
buried the
that
lead with that
guy.
one.
And
Yeah, he beat him up with a
look,
knife.
I'm gonna have to put a little warning here, but he doesn't just beat Michelle. Do you remember what he
Yeah,
did to that dog?
no, I looked away. I looked away.
Okay.
I couldn't. I dogs
Then
are
in
my
that
sensitive
case, I will
spot.
spare you the details on
Thank
what
you.
he did to that dog.
I could not look.
Holy
I heard it, and that
shit.
was enough for me. Yep. Nope.
Like I've seen,
The animals are.
I don't want to put too much of a capstone on it. I've seen some violent animal deaths in some horror movies. This one really kind of, I'm not gonna say it's the worst, but it,
Ooh, now you gotta
Jesus.
tell me because I looked away. It wasn't gonna take anything away from me. I just could not watch it.
No,
What happens?
he just stomps the shit out of that little
Oh,
dog.
yes.
Just stomps it to, and like from. They did this very smart thing where, like, he gets the first one right on clearly like a little stuffed toy. Like, obviously, you didn't stomp on a dog. This isn't Cannibal
What?
Holocaust. But then they do this brilliant thing where they cut away to this sort of long aerial shot that's
The
farther
alley.
away, and Christian
Yep.
Bale is just stomping like a fucking
Yep.
madman. And the way they put that together. To create that experience in your mind. It is one of the most violently, brutally impactful animal deaths in a movie I have ever seen. It's
Okay.
fucking,
I did see the
it's real. Like, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's
So I
so,
did see the same
whew.
parts that you did. I looked away when it cut to the alley because then it was just sound and it was so much worse
Oh,
for me.
yeah.
Because that, ooh, man. Anyway, so Patrick Bateman, he's doing some bad stuff. He beats up the Joker, because again, alternate universe. And by beat him up, I mean stabs him, I guess. He murders the Joker. Batman wouldn't. Patrick Batman would. And then at the end, he's trying to confess to his crimes. Everything's fallen down around him. And then his lawyer is like, no, it's impossible that you killed those people. And the real estate lady is like, no, there was no murder here. Please leave. And then he's just back to being like a corporate douchebag, but he's also very confused and he's still a sociopath, but at least he's got great skin. American Psycho, 2000,
Yeah,
hour
that's
14.
you skipped the whole part about how Willem Dafoe is a cop, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's the least interesting part. I love Willem Dafoe. It's just not the most exciting thing to happen here. The most exciting part is Huey Lewis in the news playing while Jared
To
Leto
be
gets murdered.
square.
It's so
Okay,
funny.
so the first thing I need to talk about here, again, especially now also in retrospect, now having seen his career, 20 odd years on, because this was Christian Bale, like this was one of his early breakout roles, right? At least it's one of the first times I ever heard his name. And going back and watching this movie, that motherfucker is chewing scenery like his goddamn life depended on it. Like he. And we've learned that his level of commitment is great through other things, right? Like if you've never seen The Machinist, the lengths he went to transform
Oh,
his
yep.
body literally, physically for that movie, my man's commitment is unquestionable. But he just dives into this character, and that's to me like this time around where just so much of the new comedy elements and the intensity of the comedy came from is he. Is fucking perfect as this character. Like when he's dancing, he's always got that fake smile and that fake chuckle, and you wonder how anybody ever believes it because the look on his face is so fraudulent. And but oh God,
He was perfect in this movie. It was so good.
I need to make an amendment to one of your statements. This came out in 2000. What we all know Christian Bale from, or at least us musical girlies know him as, is Jack Kelly from the Newsies in 1992. So I do need to make an amendment that Christian Bale's breakout role was fucking Jack Kelly, and he
I'm
killed
pretty
it.
sure, if you roll the tape back, Michelle, I said one of his early breakout
Yep,
roles.
but it the Newsies is not one of them. It is the breakout role as Jack Kelly
Yeah, and then what
role
else did
I
he
wrote.
do between that and American Psycho?
He voiced Thomas on Pocahontas.
Yeah, exactly. What else? Nothing. Nothing.
I know. I just need
And
to
then
shout out to Patrick
look at
Bateman
his
and the
yeah.
Newsies.
But no, he
Yeah,
I just
the
I could watch him play this character all day long.
when I watched The Core, they went into some of the things that had gone into making that movie. And one of my favorite things is that Christian Bale opted to dance. That was not a thing that was written into the script. He just went for it, and we get the best
It's
scene from the movie.
beautiful. Oh yeah, when he's dancing around in the raincoat with the axe. God
Just
damn it.
so happy. And just
Just
his monologues while he's doing these like very weird sociopathic things. Because in that one, it's hilarious where he's about to murder Jared Leto. But then later on with
I
the
mean, who
sex
doesn't
workers, where
want to
he's,
murder Jared Leto?
I love Jared Leto. I love Jared
He's
Leto.
all
I don't even
Mormon.
care.
He's been
I know.
Mormon
I
for a
loved
couple of
him.
years now.
It's Morbin time. I loved him on The Late Show. The Late Show with Jared Leto. Did you ever see that? Do you ever hear about that?
No.
Do you ever hear about
No, I don't
that?
wanna.
Anyway,
Anyway,
so
continue.
that part's hilarious. But then they do it again later with the sex workers, where he's I don't remember which album he's talking about then or which band, but he's just going off and then being like, "Oh, now we're gonna pose you like this," and he just like
I think it
breaks
was
it just as.
Genesis.
Okay, believe you. I'm not familiar with Genesis at all, so that's why I don't remember. But he just like stops to like say things to them, and then we go to the part where he's having sex with them and just checking himself
Just
as he's
checking
filming it, and that's
himself out in the
great.
mirror.
Yeah, so we go
It's.
from bizarre behavior, hilarious behavior, and then those women leave in a not good way at
Yeah,
all. It just it's a stark contrast.
I want to come back
Ooh.
around and talk about that in just a moment. But yeah, he, man, if he threw that dancing bit in there as just an ad lib, he deserves a fucking Oscar for that scene alone. And just
God,
that
it's so
decision,
good.
like that little dance routine elevated everything to just a completely different level. And then just that glorious grin on his face when he just says, "Hey, Paul." And Paul turns around and he just fucking axes him in the face. The blood splatter on that, by the way, was perfect. Whoever their special effects person was, also, give him all the awards. Holy shit, that scene, that sequence is incredible. Do you have a favorite kill in this movie, Michelle?
Oh, that one. Of course.
Oh,
Of course, that
okay.
one. Every time I've axed somebody in the face, it's been just like that. I mean,
Sure.
it's
So
so good. It's hilarious.
before we get into detail about also the shifting tones in the violence, because I obviously like this movie has been analyzed and torn apart, you know, and there are theories and ideas or whatever about what it's about and what's really going on. But one of the big things is, as of course illustrated by the sketchbook that Gene finds at the end of the film, and then as evident as sort of backed up by, you know, his lawyer telling him it's not possible he killed Paul Allen. He had dinner with Paul Allen in London just a couple of days ago or whatever. The suggestion that none of this is real, that he never actually killed anyone, and that's going on, all of that violence is fantasy that he's experienced, like, but to a delusional level where he actually believes he's doing this. Is that the impression you get from this? Do you think that's the story happening here, or?
I will give a part answer because I, after watching it the second time, I had to go see what people who made it had to say about it.
Okay.
I will say that I had no idea.
Really?
I went back and forth. Part of me thought like, yeah, it's in his head, but then part of me thought like, oh, it's a conspiracy because he's so rich that like his parents covered it up or something.
Well, and that is, and that's definitely there. Bret Easton Ellis, the guy who wrote the book, like that ambiguity is deliberate. Like, it's
Yep.
very much that idea that maybe none of this actually happened. And the linchpin to that, again, for me, is that notebook with all of the illustrations. I guess one could say he's just doodling his memories of the things he had done. But yeah, did that, like, are these incredibly wealthy real estate people so worried about the idea of murder victims being found in their apartment that they would just clean it up and make it disappear and act like it never happened? I don't know. Maybe that's something that, I mean, we know that rich people make murders disappear, right? We know that's a
Yeah,
thing that happens.
Boeing.
So,
Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. Okay,
no.
sorry, what?
Anyway, yeah.
I
So, you're not wrong.
know.
But so, that element, and this is one of the reasons why I feel like the movie I feel is better than the book, because when I read the book before, long before I saw the movie, I read the book because in 1996, Jerry Only and his brother Doyle put the Misfits back together without Glenn Danzig, and the first album they released was called American Psycho. And the song, title song is based or inspired by that book. And so then I found that book and I read it. And the book is, I didn't enjoy it. Ellis's writing style is just not one that really works for me. But I felt like those themes and those ideas that maybe none of this was real, maybe it was all, psychotic fantasy in his head. I didn't pick that up from the book at all. When I saw the movie, I was like, oh shit, this all makes a whole lot more sense now. I feel like the movie, at least for me, and the way I digest stories was more successful at communicating those ideas, because Ellis has also said that, like, a part of the point of the book and the story is that there's all this ambiguity going on a number of levels. You said you did some research on what the filmmakers have to say about it. Fill me in.
Yeah, first of all, I want to comment on the book because for
Sure.
people who do remember the conversation that we had about whether I'd seen the book, I had offhandedly said, yeah, I enjoyed it, right? The same time that you said you didn't enjoy it. And then I, after we got done recording, I went, did I actually enjoy it though? I don't remember. I just remembered the violence being insane. There's a particular thing where he kills his ex-girlfriend Bethany with a nail gun in the face. And then I believe, if I remember correctly, he nail guns her hands to the floor. And that was like almost too much brutality for me in a book. I read a lot of Stephen King. Something with the way that scene was written, I was so uncomfortable, which is very interesting to me because I think Stephen King could explain the entirely same, like the exact same scenario, and I wouldn't have been as upset by it. It was just something with like the cold, calculated way that he did it. But outside of those scenes that really stuck with me, I don't think I overall enjoyed the book. And it was similar to Deadstream, a movie that we've reviewed for this podcast, where the character was portrayed so well that I then couldn't like it because I'm just listening to this guy who's just like a piece of shit. As a human being, he's insufferable. Even if he wasn't a killer, I would hate him. And then he's also killing people. And I'm listening to him explain how great he is. And I think I was rolling my eyes through a significant portion of it. So incredibly well written, but God, I hated him. I hated him so much.
Oh yeah, which again, as
Yeah,
you understand,
you're
you're
not
supposed
supposed to
to.
like him, but that
Right.
meant that I didn't enjoy reading it. So it was
Sure.
effectively done. But
Gotcha.
yeah, so I had dug in a little bit to how the filmmakers felt. And basically they all come down on it's supposed to be ambiguous. And that's the part that I did not know. I knew I felt like I did not know. I did not know if they knew that there was a reality of what was supposed to be going on. And everybody is in agreement that it's way better if it is ambiguous
Oh,
and not
sure.
spelled out.
Right.
So I was I was glad to see that solidified. I wasn't sure if I just missed something and it was supposed to be like this gigantic twist, or if it was supposed to be like a is it not? So that's kind of, I
So,
just went and I listened to some interviews with a bunch of people involved.
do you have an interpretation that you have settled on yourself?
I like the conspiracy one.
What
I really do.
that like his parents and everything is just being covered up by the ultra wealthy and he actually killed all these people?
Yep.
Okay, so then explain how the lawyer had dinner with Paul Allen in London.
He
Are you
didn't. He was
suggesting
paid
he
off by
didn't? He's
the.
part of the conspiracy?
Yeah, his parents said, like, if anybody asks, you saw Paul Allen in
Okay.
whatever country. And they gave him a
Interesting.
lot of money. That's why he's so
Interestingly
uncomfortable during
enough,
that conversation.
I feel like in a way my response is a little bit more bleak, because I think it's a combination of the two, and I'll explain to you why. I think a lot of this violence is all in his head. A lot of it is stuff he never happened. It's his fantasies about what he would like to do to the people that he considers his peer group or whatever, you know, Paul Allen, some, but here's the thing. I think any of these death scenes that involve somebody from his status level, whether it's the Paul Allen murder or when he try almost murders Gene, or when he murders who am I thinking of? When he has the second incident with the prostitute, and then there's that other the
The
second lady
ex-girlfriend,
is one
Bethany.
of his friends. Yeah,
Yep, that's the one from the book. That's why I remember her.
yeah,
Yep.
yeah. So those kills have things represented in the sketchbook. Like if you go back and look at the images.
Yep.
Here's what I think, though. I think those are fantasies. I think when he murders the homeless man, he actually murdered that man. I think the first experience with that prostitute, when he brings just her and the high-end call girl in, and they walk out at the end, they show you that drawer of torture instruments, and they walk out at the end, I think that's real. And I think that's part of what they're saying, or at least that's part of the theme that I picked up, is that he is channeling his inner fan. Because clearly, one of the big themes about this is he hates everything about the world he occupies, and yet everything about his life is designed to occupy that world. Right? He fucking loathes all of these people, but everything he does is to be. Part he says just very directly in the most he says I want to fit in, right? So to me, what this is a man who knows he is impotent to do anything to those people that he really wants to kill, and he takes out his violence on people that he sees as being beneath him, and that's a like that to me is like that was a bit that I didn't pick up on 20 years ago when I was watching this, and that takes this incredibly funny movie and for me puts a like that sequence. I think it's also very telling that they show us the torture implements and they only show us the aftermath. They don't show us what he's doing. I think that's very important. To because we see the brutal graphic stuff in great detail. This is a movie that is not afraid of showing us things. So why didn't it do that? And that to me just says everything because there's a reality there that we're not prepared to split through. And so that's kind of how I take it. I think some of it is delusional. I think some of it is real.
Mine is also partially delusional. An ATM did not tell him to feed a cat to it. So there's
Right,
definitely like those clear cut moments of like, okay, clearly some of this is in your head.
yeah.
It does, I think potentially it actually does lean on the side of, yeah, this is delusional. And I had read a bunch of stuff because I watched it a couple days ago, and a lot of people fall kind of where you do on it. The reason I like the conspiracy route is just because it's fun. I think
Oh,
that's
for
such
sure.
a fun fun theory to it that everything is a conspiracy.
Right.
And I kind of, for me, that's like even bleaker. And that's why I like it, because he doesn't even know what his reality is.
Well, and
Because he thinks he's doing these things and then they're covering it up. And he's like, what the fuck is going on? What do you mean I didn't kill anyone, when he knows he did?
because
So he's
that's who he
delusional
wants to
about,
be ultimately, right?
yeah,
That's who he wants to be. He wants to be the
exactly.
fucking lion that murders them all and takes command of everything.
Yeah. So then finding out, like, oh, well, did I actually do that? And like him kind of being subjected to his own insanity. That's the reason I like that theory, is just because I think it's very fun that he's like, what the fuck? Did I murder a person? I thought I finally murdered all these people
Right,
that
right.
I hated, and I was getting my aggression out, but now I'm finding out that I never even did that. Like, what do you mean? So that's why I like the conspiracy. I think like his own inner spiral of like, okay, well, if I kill a person, are they gonna disappear again? Like, just
Sure.
the rest of his life is like, should I even try murdering a person? Will I know if I did it? I think that being like a very confusing lifestyle, it's just more fun for me. So that's the
Sure.
one I go with. If there's a conspiracy option, I'll go with the conspiracy option.
That's fair. That's fair. Can I tell you about some other things that I picked up on this time around
Yeah,
that never occurred to me?
absolutely.
Two small things that linked up, and I realized they're very, very much intertwined, but they happen just completely independently. There's that moment I mentioned where he's talking with Evelyn, and he says, "Because I want to fit in." And then there's that subtle moment that they just blow by in a completely different scene where it's mentioned that Patrick's father runs the company. And there is so much contained about his personality and his motivation in those two sentences, right? Because he's very clearly like he's fighting this nepotism thing. He's trying to prove that he actually deserves to be here. And like, I'm sure he gets a lot of ribbing about his parents operating the company or whatever. I really liked that. The one that really gets me, I'm just gonna hit you with a question here based on the whole
Oh
idea
no.
that that this may all be going on in his head. And again, assuming that everything is ambiguous deliberately and there is no for sure answer. Have you ever considered the possibility that he is not even actually Patrick Bateman?
No.
Okay. And see, here's where it came is I started thinking there's the bit at the beginning where he goes through that monologue, and one of the key lines is in the monologue is there's an idea of a Patrick Bateman, but no matter what you think, no matter what I am simply not here. And then I started thinking about like all these like the way that like everybody is constantly mistaking people for other people and nobody really knows for sure who any of the Did you happen to notice, by the way, for the most part, if I'm not mistaken, it's only the men who never get anybody's names right. The women always know exactly who they're talking to. And that's the one thing. The drunk
Except when,
one,
like,
Bethany, it
yeah.
doesn't, right? But
And I thought the fiance was like, why did she call you that at some
right. No,
point?
that's what I'm saying. The
Oh, okay, that same one.
right. Yeah, that whole and again, I'm not saying this is something. It's just an idea that hit me. Just like, what if he's not even like, what if he killed Patrick Bateman and assumed his identity? And none of these people even know because he just moved in, right? I love how much little things that are completely innocuous just infuriate this man.
The
So
business
he
cards.
throws that bit
The
when
business
they throw
cards.
Paul Allen throws that business card on the table, like he. It's a rage that I have rarely seen, and it's fucking hilarious.
15 years ago, I didn't get it. I thought there might be something that like one business card was better than the other, and I just didn't understand business cards. There's
Right.
so much stuff that like I just chalked up to. I'm ignorant about corporate lifestyle, and now I am in corporate lifestyle, you know, running the simulation that we're all a part of,
Oh,
and I will be
sure,
putting in
yeah.
a request so that dogs can play Final Fantasy VII. But now I'm part of that corporate lifestyle, and I'm like, oh no, those are the same.
Yeah,
And I
and
think
it's.
like being able to see that now, like that's where so much of this humor I missed the first time because I
Yeah.
went, I'm just dumb and don't know things. And I'm like,
Yeah.
oh no, that's actually really funny.
Yeah, and then the way he panics when Lou is his name Lewis, but the guy in the bathroom thinks Patrick's coming on to him. Yeah, Lewis
Yes.
Carruthers, I think, is his name. And
I
he
know
just.
the guy. I need to go look at what else he's been
He
in because
just.
I know that guy from so much stuff.
He just freaks out because God forbid anybody get that idea about him. He's
Yep.
so insanely concerned with status. Hey, Michelle, who does Patrick Bateman remind you of recently?
Batman. Is that the wrong answer? Is it not
That's
Batman?
the.
Recently, Patrick Bateman reminds me of
Incredibly
recently.
wealthy Wall Street tycoon who just
Oh, are you going to go off about
scum.
Trump again?
I'm not going to go off about him, but no, that's just. Look, let's not.
Patrick Bateman is Trump.
No, what I'm saying is like that whole period of our lives that we've gone through is almost single-handedly responsible, at least for me, for unlocking so many layers of this, right? Just these levels of these people who are so ele one of the biggest moments to me where this really hits one of those satirical social commentary notes is the second time he goes to pick up the prostitute, right? And she's been through this once and she's nervous and anxious. And it's a perfect statement about the nature of the wealth disparity between these two people is she is obviously not wanting to have anything to do with this because she knows where it's going to go. She knows what's going to happen and she doesn't want to do it again, but she's desperate. And there is this amount of money that is so much that she will go through this again because she is so desperate and that amount of money is so significant to her. And he could light it on fire or just throw it in the trash and it would mean nothing. It would mean absolutely nothing. And that scene just carried so much more weight for me as a 43-year-old American than it did as a 20-year-old American. Holy shit. Like that scene, those are the darkest parts of the movie to me, is those two sequences with the streetwalker prostitute. That's where the movie really, for me at least, got really fucking bleak and dark because of those elements involved.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Especially the one that hits the hardest for me is that very first one with the sex worker, where or two of them, and he's monologuing about movies and or music as he's making them pose and then having sex and then afterwards pulling out those implements. I think that one, the fact that we didn't see it, which you had talked about a little bit earlier, that's the one that stuck with me more than any of the overt violence did, aside from Jared Leto getting killed, because that was very funny. But like him even like chucking a chainsaw down a stairwell and killing the lady the
It's
second time, that wasn't
so
as good
ridiculous.
as that
And
first one where we
that
saw
to me is
nothing.
one of the big things that's like, okay, this isn't real, right? There's no
But I want it
way.
to be real.
There's
But I
no
want it to
way
be.
he successfully just followed her around and timed that perfectly. There's no way. No
But I hope
way.
he did. So
Oh, of
that's why
course.
I lean on the side of conspiracy because it's hilarious. I want that to be the truth.
Oh. Yeah, there were just so many more layers of this that I was able to unpack this time around that I just didn't have the understanding of the world to recognize, 25 years ago or whatever. And Yeah, I'm so glad you brought this up, because for a minute I was like, I don't know if I'm really going to want to go back and watch this.
You just
this,
remember
but...
toxic masculinity, but in a positive light, like I did.
Yeah, I just remembered the idea. I just specifically remember the idea of this wealthy and powerful guy who may be getting away with murder, right?
Yeah.
And there are just, there are levels of nuance in it that I just never saw. And it's, it's, man, this is a fucking fantastic movie. Mary Harron and Gwen Turner knocked it out.
My closing thoughts are that Lewis Carruthers was played by Matt Ross, and I had to go to his IMDb page because I was like, yeah, right. I wanted to go figure out what he was from. Emery Waterman, Rose Red. Oh, my God. Rose Red was a very monumental moment in my life. So Emery Waterman was Lewis Carruthers, and that's important.
Man, I ended up having some thoughts about this movie, Michelle, and I'm like, no, seriously, I am so glad you made me watch this again, because it's one that I very honestly could have probably gone the rest of my life without going back to, and I am so glad I did, because, again, if for no other reason at all, you know, throw away all the layers of story that I picked up on this time, Christian Bale's performance in this is a goddamn treasure. Like, I, this is a movie I'm going to come back to and watch probably more frequently now, just to watch that man just chew this shit up. It's so good.
I am going to start recommending other movies that you probably won't like, but the problem will be that you actually don't like them.
You know what? Here's what I'm really concerned about now is because we, you know, the schedule is out, so people know. We have a Mother's Day special coming up. And I said to Michelle, because my original plan was I was going to be like, oh, let's watch Mother's Day on Mother's Day. And it's a trauma film, and we had that whole trauma debacle with the Toxic Avengers
stuff. And I already had thoughts.
And I said, Michelle, you pick a mother, you know, maybe Carrie, that's a mother-themed movie. You know, there's some... And Michelle said, oh, okay, I'm going to make you watch that fucking Darren Aronofsky movie, Mother, that I saw once back in the day when I still said movies sucked. And man, did I say it about that movie a bunch, and I said it loudly. I would emphatically say today that that movie was not for me, and I haven't seen it since, and I don't like Aronofsky at all, and I can't believe you're doing this to me. But now I'm worried. Now I'm worried that we're going to go back and watch it, and I'm going to be like, oh my God, this is so much better than I ever thought it was. I mean, I'm not super worried because it's fucking Aronofsky, you know, and that guy has one story that he tells, and it's obsession ruins lives.
I'm so excited. This is my Aronofsky month. Next week, I get to go see his movie at the Sphere. And then in a couple weeks after that, while I'm also in Vegas, we'll record the episode for Mother.
Have you seen all of his films, Michelle?
I've seen most of them.
Have you seen Pi?
Yes. Great movie.
Well, that's one way to look at it.
Yeah. The only one I think that I can say I outright did not enjoy was The Whale, and we should probably not get into my thoughts on that one right now.
Yeah, Michelle went out of her way to help me get a copy of that film in a way that didn't involve giving any money to anyone, because fuck those people. I still love you, Brendan Fraser, but you made a bad decision. I still haven't gotten around to watching it. Because I can't bring myself. Anyway, this isn't the I Hate Darren Aronofsky podcast. I'm just saying, Michelle's going to make me watch Mother, and I'm really not happy about it, because there's a slight chance I'm going to end up liking it, and I don't want that to happen. If that happens, Michelle, I don't know what I'm going to do to you, but it's going to be real mean.
I won't get into this super a ton right now. I am going to turn our Mother episode into an Aronofsky discussion in general. But I do need to know, just because I don't, did you like Requiem for a Dream?
No, I don't like anything he's done.
You didn't like Black Swan either?
No.
Okay, fascinating. No. Yeah, we'll have a lot of stuff to talk about on the Mother episode.
I will say this. there was a time in my life where I was depressed and miserable and self-loathing enough to find some kind of value in the man's work. I am not that person anymore. I'm not saying I don't still have my depressions and my mental health struggles, because goddammit, I do. But I'm a very different person than I was when I liked that stuff, and there's not a single thing he's done that I can watch anymore and enjoy. I've tried.
Okay. I'm looking forward to the Mother episode. I'll be in Vegas, so I'm going to go get shit-faced before we record this. Because I will be surrounded by
alcohol.
Yeah, but
isn't the movie you're watching in this? Isn't the movie you're watching in the Sphere a documentary?
Oh, no, that one's a fictional. It is a documentary. Okay, sorry. Yes, it's documentary, but it's also sci-fi. So I think there's like a mix of both.
Oh God. And then you're going to
see, and I don't know. Here's what I hate. Movies that are not real documentaries, that are like mockumentaries, are listed under the documentary genre in IMDb now. So I don't know when something's fictional or not.
Light them on fire, Michelle. That's ridiculous.
I know. Yeah, it's a new thing. I've started realizing it. That's why, since this one says documentary sci-fi, that's why I think it might be at least somewhat fictional, because the ones that are actually documentaries are just listed as documentary. If it's a mockumentary or it has a fictional component, then it goes into two genres normally. But I will
IMDb,
report back. I'm sure
get
you're going to want to know.
Together, yeah. IMDb.
Yeah, it's been pissing me off. I've been
Michelle.
Watching so many horror movies lately where I'm like, this is not real, right? Yeah.
Michelle. So it's Wednesday, May 2nd, as we record this, 1:45
in the
morning.
Yep.
No, Thursday, May 2nd, excuse me.
Oh, my God, Thursday. I leave in 4 days.
You leave in 4 days.
You leave tomorrow.
I leave in 36 hours.
Yeah.
On a whirlwind bus trip to Chicago for the Chicago Horror Film Festival Halfway to Halloween Edition, of which we watch Shudder, is an official sponsor. Michelle, I'm so fucking excited. I wish you could come
with
me.
I know, me too. But
it's gonna
Vegas
be so
trip
much fun.
And heart test.
Yeah, you want
I did think when you said like, oh, you're going to get your heart tested right before you fly. What if they tell you that you can't fly? And I really I thought about that for 3 days afterwards. Like, oh no, you have a point. Like, what if they tell me I can't fly? And then I remembered, doctor's orders are just suggestions. So I'll still get on that plane. It'll be a great way to die. So.
Michelle, no.
I want to die in a way that traumatizes others to make sure that I come back as a ghost.
Look, I still have at least a year and a half of this podcast in me, but I can't do it without you.
Yes, you can. Ouija board, spirit box. There's so many ways I can still be involved. I'll be like, what'd you think of this movie? Not for me.
Michelle, yeah. You know ghosts aren't real, right?
Oh, do not even. Do not even.
All right. Well, the dog just started barking about something, and I'm not sure what it is, but we should probably go investigate. Everybody's already tuned out. We stopped talking about American Psycho fucking 20 minutes ago, but.
You said that there was a time when you were full of self-loathing enough that you could like Darren Aronofsky, and yet here we are.
Here
Mother
we
needs
are.
To get revisited.
Okay. Yeah. Riley's really getting out of hand together. Here all of a sudden. Say goodnight, Michelle.
That's fair. Yeah. Good night, Michelle.
For more horror content, visit WeWatchShudder.com, where you'll find our world-famous, patent-pending Ghoul Blog and Squelch Files, as well as a schedule of upcoming episodes. Find us on social media, at WeWatchShudder, on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and, I guess, Twitter, if you're still doing that for whatever reason. You can email us, mail@WeWatchShudder.com is the address, mail@WeWatchShudder.com. You can even call and leave us a voicemail, 701-566-9510. No, really, 701-566-9510. Give it a shot, see what happens. We Watch Shudder is a production of Rat Factory Media.